Today is the first Saturday of March, so we honor Our Lady and we pray for peace. Last Saturday, there was no war going on in the Middle East. By Saturday night, we heard the war began, and it's escalated terribly. So much destruction, so much suffering, so we pray for peace. We'll be praying the rosary after the Mass. Today is also the feast of two early martyrs from North Africa, Carthage in North Africa, Saints Perpetua and Felicity. They were martyred in the year 203, so way, way back, early church. They were young women, young mothers, new converts, but they recognized the treasure of faith in Jesus Christ more precious than death, than life. So they suffered death. But of all the things that stand out today, certainly today's gospel is the highlight. The gospel, the famous parable of the prodigal son. This is such a great story. It's a masterpiece. It's so good that I always hesitate to say anything about it because it stands on its own as an extraordinary picture of the mercy of God our Father. It's something like looking at a masterpiece picture or watching a great movie. You don't want to say anything more about it. You just want to let it sink in. That's the parable of the prodigal son. Or it's called the parable of the prodigal son, but really it's a parable of the merciful father. Extraordinary mercy on the part of the father, who loves both of his sons to an extraordinary degree. Well, to reflect on this, I'd like to pick out two scenes from the movie, or two aspects of the picture. One is the picture of the younger son in his misery in the pig pen, hungry, poor, abandoned, miserable. That's one picture. And then the other picture we'll focus on afterward is the picture of the father embracing this son who has come back home. So let's start with the younger son in his misery. Now, he thought he was going to be happy once he was rich, and he thought that if he could just go off and do whatever he wanted, away from the gaze of his father and the demands of living in the father's house and working for the father, he thought he would be happy. That's always the way we think when we choose sin. Sin always presents itself as a path to happiness, and it never works. Sin never makes us happy. Sin always leads to the misery that we see in this young man. Cut off from God, cut off from people, and not even able to enjoy the pleasures of this world. Miserable. The other day, we pondered another great parable of Jesus, the story of the rich man and Lazarus. Some of you were here, you know the story. The rich man living in luxury, great foods, fancy clothes, big house, everything, he has everything. And then at his doorstep is the poor man, Lazarus, who has nothing. Perhaps this parable came back to my mind when I was reflecting on this younger son when he was there in the pig pen, longing for the food that the pigs ate. Lazarus was longing for some scraps from the rich man's table. So both of them are reduced to absolute destitution and misery. But there's a distinction here, because in the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, Lazarus is poor and miserable, but it's not because he's a sinner. He's not blamed for it. And we learn that once they both die, and Lazarus gets taken to heaven, and the rich man gets sent to hell. So what looked like God was blessing the rich man and cursing the poor man was not really true. That was a misunderstanding of their condition. But when it comes to the younger son in the parable of the prodigal, it is a result of his sin condition. Now, this is something we have to reflect on, because in this life, sometimes sinners do prosper. Sometimes thieves, corrupt people, they make lots of money and live in luxury. And sometimes good people live in poverty. They suffer losses that they should never have to suffer. So how does this picture of the younger son apply? Well, it's a picture of a man in misery, but it's actually a picture of his spiritual condition. His spiritual condition. This is the spiritual condition of sinners. Even if they have a lot of money or fancy clothes and good food, spiritually they're miserable because they're trying to fill themselves or make themselves happy with things that can't satisfy. This younger son tried everything to fill himself, and he ended up being empty. That's the way of sin. That's why it's such a valuable picture. It's not that God the Father has to cast us out or punish us. When we choose to leave his house and choose the path of sin, we make ourselves exiles. We make ourselves poor and miserable. That's what sin does. So that's why this image of the younger son longing for the food of the pigs is a very accurate spiritual picture, a picture of the spiritual condition of sinners. Now, since we're in Lent and we're identifying ourselves as sinners, we identify ourselves with this younger man, this young son. And we say, well, now what do we do? Now that we're miserable and we've taken the path of sin and it's led to our being cut off from God and cut off from one another and unable to enjoy life, what do we do now? Well, the answer is given in the parable. Go back to the Father. Go back to the Father. Yes, you're not worthy of being his son, but you were never worthy in the first place. Go back to the Father. Now, the young man gets this idea. He doesn't think the Father's going to accept him with mercy. He thinks he might be able to get a job there. But at least he gets up and goes back. So that's the lesson for Lent, right? Lent is a time to go back to the Father. Go back to the house of the Father. Turn away from sin. Go to confession. Leave behind that dead-end road that has led only to unhappiness. Go back to the Father. What happens when we go back to the Father? He's more merciful than we can possibly imagine. And that takes us to the second picture I want to focus on. So the first picture is the young man in his misery. That's every sinner in the sin condition. The second picture is the Father embracing this young man, this dirty, stinking, unworthy, miserable young man. And the Father runs out and embraces him. It's a great, it's extraordinary picture of the mercy of God, the merciful God's response to us when we finally repent. It's like the gem of this whole parable, that God is so willing to overlook our sin condition. He doesn't mind the stink and the filth. As long as he can have us back, he's willing to take us back. In fact, he'll wash us up. But he can't force us to come home. We have to get up and go back home. But once we do, he's very willing to accept us back. So this, if we can ponder this picture for a moment of the Father embracing this young man, we realize that's what happens to us when we repent. Again, this is an image of a spiritual experience, of a spiritual condition. It's not what happens in this life. It's not what happens physically. When you go to confession, you don't walk out and suddenly find yourself in luxury. Same problems, still have the same problems, still have the same amount of money. Clothes are still tattered. That's the way it is. But spiritually, there's a complete change. And that's much more important. What stands out here is the limitless mercy of God our Father. As if no offense is too much to forgive. This is what Pope Benedict described as God's mercy turning against his own justice. God is a just God, but he seems willing to overturn his own just decrees for the sake of mercy. And this is the best example of it. Now, the rest of the parable is all about the older son, who is living in the house of the father, but is not enjoying it. He doesn't appreciate it. He's living like a slave, fulfilling all the orders of the father, never having any enjoyment, living in resentment, resentment of the father, resentment of his brother, resentment of everything. He's miserable. He doesn't look miserable. Well, maybe his face looks miserable, but he doesn't have the appearance of poverty like the younger son did when he was with the pigs. But he is miserable interiorly. In fact, as far as we can tell, he makes the decision not to go to the house of the father, even when there's a joyful celebration taking place. This is the danger. Again, this is the same effect that sin has on every one of us. It excludes us from the house of the Father. We cut ourselves off from enjoying the mercy of the Father. The Father can't force that man back into his house, his older son. He invites him back. He goes out and pleads with him, but he can't force him back, or he won't. And this is the way God treats us. Whether we have gone down the dead-end road of gross sin and left God, or whether we're living in the hypocrisy of looking good but interior being resentful, whatever our sin path has been, the invitation of Lent is, leave that behind. Go back to the house of the Father. Don't hold on to your sin, and don't hold on to your shame, or think that your guilt is too big to be forgiven. Go back to the Father, and you'll experience the love of the Father, the mercy of the Father, the embrace of the Father. That's the whole story here. That's the beauty of this parable, and actually of this whole season of Lent. So let's take advantage of the season of Lent. Leave our sin behind. Leave our misery behind. Our foolishness behind. Our distorted understanding of what will make us happy. Leave it all behind. Go back to God. Go back to the Father and recognize that He has more love for us than we can possibly imagine, and His grace is far greater than our sins. Thanks be to God.